You're listening to Healthcare Now Radio. Stand by for This Just In, the latest in healthcare innovation and technology trends with your HIT advisor, Justin Barnes.
Thank you for tuning in and welcome to This Just In. I'm your host, Justin Barnes. In these half-hour segments, I'll bring you the latest advances in healthcare, strategy, innovation, and public policy. As always, we're broadcasting from the This Just In studios on the Business Radio X network, as well as the Healthcare Now radio network. For this episode, my 161st episode, we have a special show dedicated to patient engagement and empowerment with insightful guests from my health innovation think tank. But before we dive into that too far, I want to take a moment and let everyone know that we're broadcasting the This Just In radio show again live from the HIMSS annual conference this year in Orlando in February. Many more details to come, but I hope everyone is planning on attending the conference in sunny and warm Florida. If you're not, though, you'll be able to stream our radio show live at thisjustinradio.com. We'll have another great slate of CEO, CIO, leading care providers, industry thought leaders, riveting authors, and certainly policymakers joining the show. For this episode, though, I'm excited to have Dr. Monica Bolberg, co-founder and CEO of Cure for You. Welcome to the show, Monica.
Thanks a lot, Justin.
It's great to have you here. And I first met you through the venture capital firm Tech Square Ventures, actually here in Atlanta. And I assist them with different investments that they have and they look at. And I've stayed in contact with you and just been so impressed with your progress that I also invited you to join our health innovation think tank last month. So thank you very much for making that trip as well.
Yeah, that was great. Thanks for inviting.
You got it. And then the thought leadership was so strong from that, that I wanted to have you join our radio show and certainly join, you know, and share the best practices and strategies that you have around patient engagement and empowerment. But before we dive in too deep, I always ask my guests where they grew up, attended school, and you have one of the more unique backgrounds, so please share.
Yeah, you probably don't know my school. So I'm from Denmark, a physician, I graduated from University of Copenhagen long time ago. But so that's my background. Been working with building tools for providers, helping them to interact with their patients in between office visits since 2001.
And you first built a company in Denmark before coming here, correct? It was the same company, but you departed there?
So, yeah. Correct. Well, I just simply got, sucked into this health IT business because I got so frustrated. I really saw a need for tools to help patients take better care of themselves and to improve treatment and outcome. Back then, at least, just to help patients. It was also to help myself as a doctor.
Sure.
Because I saw that when I helped my patients and gave them tools so they could take better care of themselves at home, they came better prepared, I got better data, etc. And so that's really what got me started on this journey.
Yeah, no, a lot of wisdom there. And I know we're going to cover a lot of ground because you shared a lot of great best practices and strategies during the think tank. And I've got to know you personally and you just have a great mind on you. But also, you know, you've been doing this for a long time. And through that comes a lot of wisdom and experience. I mean, because you have a great product now also because you've been building it for, 15, 18 years now?
Yeah, we launched our first platform, which was web-based because that was back in the modem times in 2001. Yeah. I just convinced my husband to quit his job and said, this is great, let's just do it. And I don't know how I got him to do it. We had two little kids, just bought a house. Somehow he agreed and we've been working together ever since. And we just learned a ton in that time in Denmark because we had really a great success. Very quickly, we grew to have around 30% of the population using our tools. So we just learned a ton and did a lot of bad things and perfected it. And over the time, really have found out what is we think is working best for helping providers and patients connect in between office visits.
Yeah, no, as an entrepreneur, we tend to do, you know, we make a lot of mistakes and we do many things right, and we just continue to evolve, get better, and hopefully, yeah, you know, succeed and achieve great things. So, you know, before we dive into some of your specific best practices that you shared in the think tank, let's take a quick, little bit of a step back and at a high level, because I know my audience is going to love this aspect. How do you see patient engagement evolving over the coming years? And I say over the next year, two, and three, like kind of even, you know, in a short-term 36-month timeframe.
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, it's actually pretty interesting being here in the U.S. now. A lot of the things that are happening here in the U.S., we had happening in Denmark 10, 12 years ago. So I see some of the same evolution, but you're moving much quicker here in the U.S., much, much faster than Denmark ever did. And you're taking it a step further. And I really see, I feel that physicians are really interested in finding tools and to be better and using technology. And I think that we will see more and more tools that will really perfect that relationship with doctors and patients in between office visits. And I think we will see that we will be really good at finding the right data points at the right time that will make life better for the patients, because they will get better care, but will also improve and help doctors in their workflow, in the daily workflow they have and interactions with their patients.
Excellent. What do you feel we are doing here, have done here to accelerate, to maybe achieve more than other countries? I mean, what can you point to? Is there legislation, regulation, just desire, need? What are the reasons, you know? Can you pinpoint anything, one or two?
Yeah, I think, I mean, first of all, having that incentive that you had, I can't remember how many years ago, to go out and everybody got an EMR.
Yeah,
high
tech.
That we actually also had that back. Yeah, had that back in Denmark. That was back in 2000, and okay, jumpstarting this to get everybody on a medical records system. Hate it or love it, but still, that is what kind of the base. But what's different here in the U.S. than from the rest of the world, and I've been traveling in a lot of countries and worked on this, is that the payment models are following along. Mm-hmm. And the focus on quality and outcome and the willingness to pay better and to reward those doctors that are better,
yep,
or deliver better care and lower cost is really what is driving it.
Excellent. I was just in a board meeting this morning and I said, you know, not all doctors are created equal, because people literally pick doctors. And I'm very excited the industry is shifting like this, because people pick doctors, well, you know, he or she is just a mile down the street or half a mile. I'm like, do you pick the house to live in that way? Do you pick a restaurant by that? Do you get your car service like that? No. Yeah. Then why would you pick a doctor who takes care of your body like that? And
yeah,
it's so amazing. So I'm a huge proponent, a significant proponent of quality. And optimization. So it's I love it. I love what you're saying.
And I also think I see that it's actually something that is really not just rewarding in the payments for the doctors, but also in their work life.
Very true.
That is kind of being able to deliver better care and getting the financial base for building their practice to do that. Is really rewarding and nice for them.
Yeah, no, excellent point. So, you know, you've done this for a long time, and during the think tank, you mentioned some big engagement numbers and utilization numbers, I think hovering mm-hmm. in the mid-80s to 88%, even as high as that. So what are some of the lessons you learned there? And feel free to share some of the best practices. I actually have the luxury of having the script from the think tank, because I'm now synthesizing down all of the catalysts and all of the participants' best practices and ideas. So I have all yours in front of me. You probably don't, but I'd love for you to cover some of them and you know, what's led to your success and what success would you share with others?
So I think what we've learned over time is that the most important thing is to have one solution for patients and one solution for doctors, which is their EMR, and having those two solutions really married up together. So some very good integration points so that the staff and the doctors can continue to work in their known environment. Don't try to create complete new workflows for staff. I mean, it just won't happen. Or it's going to be too big disruption, and then it will sometimes often fail. But if we build a tool that is one solution for the patient that can kind of cover the entire journey of care, so not just meaningful use patient portal functionality, go look up your encounter in the past. For me, that's a repository. It holds the patient's hand throughout the entire journey of care that is tailored to the individual patient and connected to what is happening in the EMR. So when the doctor is making decisions in the EMR, that is reflected out in the tool that is provided to the patient. Then you get something that really is a win-win situation for both patients and doctors, and they'll both love it.
Yeah, that's terrific. You also mentioned communication tools and what they've got to have for functionality around telemessaging and telehealth and being all integrated. What are your thoughts there?
Well, one of the things that struck me when I came here to the U.S. was that that you're so connected to phones, and everybody's kind of like, well, we just got to pick up that phone and we've got to call our patients, or the patients call us. And I was like, why aren't you using technology to interact, right? Because it's really rare that the doctor is right there waiting to just pick up the phone when the patient needs them, right? So what we see is an important factor in a good patient engagement empowerment solution is to have the communications tools built into it. So telehealth built into the same app as they're using for looking up what's going on tomorrow and checking for the appointments, having messaging in there so that you can easily connect with patients if they're doing remote monitoring with them and seeing, well, blood pressure is a little high. So instead of calling and have the patients come in, jump on a telehealth call or send them a message and say, hey, what's going on? Are you stressed today? Or did you stop taking your medication? And get that conversation going is really helpful.
Yeah, I mean, I just got to second that. I mean, I have a company that I chair called HipNation that's exactly the care that we provide just from a standpoint of our doctors, you know, you have to use platforms. We use platforms. I mean, they are available almost 20. They are available 24/7 to their patients because of platforms, you know, that you're offering, because it isn't traditionally over the phone. It is actually via secure messaging or telehealth, and that replaces a lot of visits. In our model, you know, the patients love it, the doctor loves it, because we don't pay per visit. We're not in a fee for service model. It's outside of fee for service, and it's just a great success for everybody. But again, obviously, in fee for service, it works great too. So,
yeah, it does. I mean, and in my experience, what I've seen is that a lot of doctors think that, oh, if we start doing that messaging chat with our patients, we have to be available all the time. But no. You can certainly use this as a kind of just saying, well, send me a message. I will reply within a day, maybe within 2 days. It doesn't really matter for the patients as long as they know there's somebody in the other end. And now they've delivered their message and they know they'll get a notification back when there's a reply.
Do you have triaging? So would it hit a nurse first, or do you have that functionality?
Yeah. So our solution is really set up tailored to the individual client. We have individual practice, and depending on size, it typically goes to a care coordination team or to a nurse that then says takes 90% of those things, and then 10% goes on to the doctor. But yes, most of it is done by staff.
Yeah, that's what my first physician-patient communication tool that I founded with Relay Health was actually that's exactly it. We had the whole triage set up, and so when the messages came in, the doctor rarely got involved unless the doctor needed to, but that triage was critically important. But that was back in 01, 02, 03, so back in the early days. So you talked You talked about another thing very important was, and I really gleaned in on this kind of coming from the software side of the house, is, you know, how you develop software with the patient in mind. And it's not just for the providers. You got to make it work for all on all platforms and don't force the patients onto one platform. So talk about there and your thought leadership there.
Yeah, I mean, I think being a doctor has helped me to, I mean, there's a lot of tools out there that are built by just, I didn't mean to say just patients, but yeah. A little bit, right? Because it's kind of like you have the experience, if you only have the experience of a patient, and built a tool that is meant to be used by providers as well. If mm-hmm. it's a standalone, it's another thing, but if it's a connecting tool, mm-hmm. you have to understand what's it's like on the other side.
Right.
And so I think being a physician has helped me a lot, building the correct tools so that, yes, I'm also a patient and I also understand what I would like to have, but I can't just build a system that is expecting the doctor to be there right there now or whatever. I mean, it's kind mm-hmm. of really needs to be something that fits into the workflow of a practice. And I think that's one of the things that's made us very successful, being able to understand both sides. Right. What we've done to really get to understand the consumer patient side is that we take care of the technical support for all our clients towards patients. So any patient has anything they don't understand, a button that is not working for them, we are the first to know. And since we are responsible for this as part of our service, we're really good at making that button work for everybody, so we don't have too many phone calls. But it gives us a good insight right away. Something's working, not working. What can we improve?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So why, in your opinion, have many of the patient portals struggled? Because they have really fallen off by the wayside. So what are your thoughts there?
I think that... mainly that many of those, most of the patient portals have been built by EMR systems that are used to building tools to doctors. So many of them look a little bit like a mimic of a doctor interface. I think doctors are used to older layout and are more getting used to maybe some cumbersome workflows in an EMR, and maybe they take that as accepted easier than a consumer. So many of those have very difficult login systems. And when you log in, it's not clear where you go find your information. We all know, right? If we log into a new website or download a new app, it just has to work right away. Otherwise, we won't use it. We'll pick up the phone and call the practice instead. And I think that's the biggest problem, is that it's simply not. It's built to meet meaningful use requirements. It's not built for the consumer.
Okay. No, that makes complete sense. And so I think even following along that in a little bit, you mentioned during the think tank that your solution is all mobile. And so why have you chosen that platform over web and web strategy?
Yeah, I was actually a little resilient in this for many years because I came from the web world and it worked really well. But right. And the way we adapt new technologies that we are not first movers. We want to implement something that is working for Mrs. Smith, who is 75 years old. So we implement tools that we know will be good and stable and easy to use. But we did go mobile 5 years ago, I think. And now we are 100% mobile. And the reason is that we can create a whole new connection experience with the patient's phone, that's 24/7. So whereas we all also get a lot of emails and spam and need to log into a web browser, it's not what we're doing anymore. And with the app notifications, I mean, there's a lot of new things that are available with the mobile compared to the web. And what we also saw is that many in the older generation, actually they don't even have a computer, they have a tablet. And that's that's where we want to hit. We want to hit 60 plus. And so that's one of the reasons why we went that way now.
Okay. That makes sense. And for those just tuning in, we are speaking with Dr. Monica Bulbjer, from co-founder and CEO of Cure for You. Did I butcher your last name or did I get it right? Bulbjer?
It's really good. You're really good at it.
Good. Excellent. I'm nervous. So talk about EMR integration, because I mean, I can imagine coming out. I mean, I was an EHR provider for almost 20 years, so I get a lot of those touch points and importance, but walk through your strategy there and why it's important to you.
Again, it's really because we can, it's almost impossible to have two solutions for the doctors. So standalone solutions that are not connected to an EMR, yeah. It's just not working. We can make the best standalone solution in the world and we'll never sell it. So EMR integration is really important. And I'm really excited about all those new possibilities. So many of the large EMRs are opening up their APIs and doing some giving access so that we can build amazing tools for the patients. Because we can pick up when there's an order sent, and we can attach a protocol or some task for the patient compared to that, and we can monitor if the patients are doing their stuff, and we can push it back into the EMR. I mean, there's just a lot of workflow there. We see our clients are saving so much time simply because we kind of outsource all that, those keystrokes and all that work, and automate it out to the patients. So it's great to see that whole thing is changing. Mm-hmm. There's still a lot of EMR systems that are not there yet, but I think they're following along very quickly now. It's kind of like everybody's seeing, yes, we need to integrate and work together. Nobody has one solution that is the best in the world for all my clients, right? It's not that way the world functions anymore. So it's much more fun now than it was 5 years ago, I would say, seeing from Miles' perspective.
For sure. Well, no, and also it's a great boon for the EHR providers, because they are not experts in patient engagement and patient empowerment. These solutions are needed and respected by the market now. And so it makes sense for both of you and having these APIs. I know when I was at my Greenway days, it was very important for us to create that whole API strategy for the company and open up to all the innovation that was in the industry and in the market. So I mean, I don't like to give plugs on the show, but if you want to plug a couple of your partners that have done a good job, because I want to plug EHR vendors that are actively interoperating with other leaders in the industry. So I'll give you a couple seconds here to talk about, if you want to talk about a partner, plug them, because I want to encourage them. I want to encourage more EHR vendors to open up their silos and interoperate. So,
yeah, I mean, so the ones I think that is having the greatest API so far, we work with is Athena Health, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. Good. And but I think Greenway we're looking and working in a little bit with as well now. I think I'm hearing more and more some of the others. Some of the EMRs are still a little, it's difficult to get through that whole layer of their companies to find out who to talk to, especially for us maybe because we're new here in the country. But we have a lot of good opportunities right now and interesting conversations going on. So it's nice.
I'm a big proponent of interoperability. So if I can help you reach some of these EHR providers, and that's, again, why I like to use my show as a platform, I want to highlight the people that are really good with sharing data and promoting interoperability. And I want to, I want to encourage the other ones that aren't so helpful today to get helpful and get interoperability. But in the closing couple of minutes, I want to touch on a couple other quick topics here. So kind of move into almost the speed round. So in 30 seconds or so, where do you see growth in the market? For not only for you and for patient engagement, where do you see some growth?
I think that the biggest growth we see now is the quality reporting, patient reported outcomes data, being able to capture data from the patients after appointments, being able to report on that and document how well they're doing their job is something that we're seeing quickly right now.
What market segments do you think will be your biggest drivers for you personally, for your company in the next 6 to 12 months?
We have a lot of success with the procedural specialties. We work a lot with GI, colorectal, GYN, orthopedics, all those that have a lot of, they need to optimize their patient flow. But they have a lot of information that needs to go to the patients that we can automate for them and also document the outcome. So that's where we see a lot of growth. But we have clients from all over the country within all specialties. So it's difficult to see, but that's where we kind of started and we still see a lot of growth.
Sure. No, that's great. So in 30 seconds or less, my last question, what is your favorite place to get or be inspired?
You know, I have a 4-year-old and a 7-year-old. I have 4 kids, but these 2 youngest ones are still at home. And sometimes I just, I leave my phone, I leave everything, and I play card with them, and I sit in the garden, and that's actually where I get most of my ideas, and just being away from all the technology and just being out in the nature with my family is where I get ideas.
I love it. No, that's fantastic. I'm all about nature and being outdoors and being inspired there. So thank you, Monica. It was great to have you on the show today. And I truly appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us.
Thank you so much for having me.
You got it. And thank you to everyone for joining us today. And please tune in weekdays at 2:30 p.m. Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Pacific to hear our latest shows. As always, you can track me on Twitter at HIT Advisor and use the hashtag ThisJustInRadio so we can respond to your comments from the show. If you missed any of this episode or want to hear more, all of my shows are posted on Apple iTunes, SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Google Play, and TuneIn. Also, you can check out the new website that we launched at justinbarnes.com. Thanks, everyone. Have a terrific week.